you, Susie, like I know Susie.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This is Eddie Cantor bringing you transcribed from Hollywood, a half hour of show business. Show business then and now. Your kid Cantor is going to cut you in on some personal experiences with your favorites of yesterday and today. Jimmy Durante, Doris Day, Al Jolson, Dinah Shore, Will Rogers, Eddie Fisher, W.C. Fields, Jerry Lewis, Fanny Bryce, Bob Hope. But why go on naming names? I want you to hear their voices, too. And at the end of each program, I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have about show business. After 47 years of it, I should have some answers, don't you think? In Hollywood, someone said about a certain actor, he doesn't have an enemy in the world, but all his friends hate him. About Jimmy Durante, it can be safely said that he doesn't have an enemy in the world, but all his friends adore him. I go back further with Jimmy in show business than with any other performer. Coney Island, 1909. That's 47 years ago. I was a singing waiter and Durante was just a piano player. I got a break when I met Ziegfeld in 1917, but Jimmy first discovered that a long nose could bring him fame and fortune in 1923. It was at the Club Durant, a kind of a speakeasy with entertainment. He'd start off his act by pointing at the schnoz and yelling, "Here it is, folks. Yes, it's real. It ain't gonna bite you and it ain't gonna fall off. And any famous people in the audience can't come up and autograph it." In Palm Springs recently, we did a benefit for the police. After the rehearsal, we stopped in a drugstore for a bite to eat. I ordered one of those special sandwiches, you know, and said to Jimmy, "Triple decker." The schnoz shook his head. "I can't eat a triple decker sandwich. My nose gets stuck on a second deck." Whatever you want to do, he goes along. But on one thing, he's very stubborn. He will not fly. Refuses to get into a plane. A short while ago, we did a show from Las Vegas with Milton Berle. I suggested we fly back. Jimmy said, "I'm not flying. If Mother Nature wanted me to fly, she'd have made me with feathers." This Durante man has made good in every field of show business he has tackled. Nightclubs, television, radio, pictures, vaudeville. Just give him an audience, he'll supply the entertainment. His several appearances with the Metropolitan Opera star Helen Traubel have brought home run cheering from the public and the critics. Prepare for a treat now with Jimmy and Helen banging out "The Song's Gotta Come From the Heart."
"Good evening, Miss Traubel. You're looking well, I find.
I've come for my lesson, if you'll be so kind.
I've got a little time, and I think it would be wise if I started you off with a simple exercise.
La, 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 la.
Accertato.
La, 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 la.
Accertato.
La, 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 la. La, 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 la.
Now, I don't want to be critical right at the start, but Madam Traubel, remember, whatever you sing, it's gotta come straight from the heart. Now take Caruso. What made him the singer of the age?
His voice.
That helped, but it was really his heart. Now take Melchior. What puts him over on the stage?
His voice.
You don't understand. You're fighting me. It's the heart that makes them all. It's the difference between the big and the small. Why, if they hadn't have cut off my curls when I was a kid, I'd have been another Lily Pons. You'll notice that notice charms. Culture.
Hello.
Residence.
Sir.
But most of all, that's hot. And that's why I say...
Jenny, Jenny.
It doesn't have to be witty or smart, just as long as it comes from the heart. It doesn't have to be classical or art, just as long as it comes from the heart. You know something, Helen? Last year, the kids at school asked me to sing at their graduation exercises. I did, but I made a horrible mistake. I didn't sing from the heart. I sang from the nose.
How did it sound?
I don't know. The note hasn't come out yet. Just make up your mind from the start that the song's gotta come from the heart.
illustrate my point, I'll continue. Parlez-moi d'amour, retirez-moi de tendre. Spanish.
No, Jimmy, that's French.
How do you like that? I sing French, too. Now, Helen, try and follow me in this next one. Oh, Chicharnia.
Oh, Chicharnia.
Wait. Oh, Chistrasnia.
Oh, Chistrasnia.
Oh, Chicunia.
Oh, Chicunia.
Epitrasnia.
Bluey
Vas? Yeah, Cocky Bluey Vas.
Is that from the heart?
No, that's from the stomach.
Oh.
But you can't restrict me in these things. Cocky Bluey Vas! Hey!
Hey!
Why, this'll rock the Kremlin. Don't be afraid. You make the grade. Why, you can sing as good as Bing. That's why I say when you start, that the song's gotta come from the heart. Go ahead, Helen, make me proud of you.
It doesn't have to be theatric or art, just as long as it comes from the heart. I'll give this, I'll give that, I'll run away.
Why, you can't miss.
Just put a star on my chart, because the song that it comes from the heart.
On opening night, your name and lights. Why, we won't stop till we reach the top. We'll order on these out of if the song comes from the heart,
we'll be tremendous.
If the song comes from the heart, then holla bravo if the song comes from the heart. Show up.
Was our own Jimmy Durante and his sidekick Helen Trouble with The Song's Gotta Come From the Heart. Never more did I appreciate my comedian friends than when I was hospitalized for many weeks recently. It was nice to have Groucho Marx come up and keep me giggling for an hour many times, and that goes for Georgie Jessel and Jack Benny. Jack brought a tremendous basket of fruit. It must have cost him $40. So nice of me. Let me have it for $18. And they say he's stingy. I needed laughter, too. It was the oxygen that kept me going, although I will say that three of the loveliest nurses you ever saw were so attentive, too. Bathed and massaged me, did my nails, saw that I had fresh-cut flowers every day. You wouldn't believe it, but I'd have picked those nurses for me. Yep. They were three of the nicest-looking fellas you ever laid your eyes on. And I simply cannot tell you of the great source of joy that I got from my radio set, tuned in on the shows 6, 7, 8 hours a day. It brought me back to the time that I first went into radio on the old Chase and Sanborn Hour. Remember? It was during the early Depression years that I had many fine songs to lift the spirits of the people. I want to sing one of them for you at this point and see if it doesn't bring back some memories.
Potatoes are cheaper, tomatoes are cheaper. Now's the time to fall in love. Why, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, gave their price a downward shove. Grab yourself someone to fry your eggs and bacon. She can live just like a queen on what you're making. You'll even find it delicious to help with the dishes. Now's the time to fall in love. Each day you get older, you never get younger. Now's the time to fall in love. Why, if you're over 20, young fella, that's plenty. You begin to turtle dove. And it doesn't matter if you're over 50. You can still find someone who will think you're nifty. A little flat with your wifey, you'll find that's the lifey. Now's the time to fall in love. You know what your father once whispered to mother. Now's the time to fall in love. So look up another, as sweet as your mother, for your little turtle dove. Though your daddy didn't earn a lot of money, still I'm sure he made your mother's life so sunny. You know your father succeeded, don't you, just like he did? Now's the time to fall in love. You may have a beau that just don't seem to know that. Now's the time to fall in love. Well, if that is your fix, miss, I'll show you some tricks, miss. You should take advantage of. Buy a copy of the song and send it to him. You will marvel at the good that it'll do him. And if you capture your steady, just name the first Eddie. Now's the time to fall in love.
That was Eddie Cantor singing The 24-Year-Old, Now Is the Time to Fall in Love. I first caught Jack Benny back in Chicago in 1919. His act consisted of several violin solos interspersed with some chatter. And while his violin playing wasn't very good, his chatter was pretty horrible. For the last 20-some-odd years, he has been contributing laughter through radio for millions of his ardent followers. He claims that he's not good without his writers, that he can't ad-lib a line. I disagree. At a benefit recently, he introduced me this way. Ladies and gentlemen, I never get over how youthful Eddie Cantor looks. Just look at him. He hasn't got a gray hair in his head. Tonight. It got quite a laugh, and then I said, stop talking, Jack, because whether my hair is gray or black, at least it's all mine. Then Jack floored me with, listen, brother, I've got hair at home I haven't even used yet. In describing his miserliness, Rochester once said, Mr. Benny's the only man I know who sharpens his pencils in the fireplace so he won't waste the shaving. Yes, he has quite a reputation for being stingy, for acting the Scrooge 365 days in a year. But I'd like to mention here and now that Jack Benny has given me a sizable fortune in the last 15 years for charities in which we are both interested. His sense of timing is the envy of every comedian in show business. Listen to this scene by Jack Benny in Rochester, and you'll see what I mean.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go out and visit Jack Benny at his home in Beverly Hills, where at the moment we find Rochester trimming his hair.
Just a little more off the sides, Rochester.
Yes, sir.
You know, Rochester, it may sound funny, but when I was just a little kid, I had the most beautiful head of thick golden curls.
You did, boss?
Yeah. In fact, my mother was so proud of them that she gave a curl to every one of our relatives.
Well, you better write to them, boss. It's time to get them back.
Yeah. Well, Rochester, how much of you trimmed off the sides?
Almost a handful.
Good. Now sprinkle it around the top. Thanks. What are you laughing at?
This ain't no haircut. It's a landscaping job.
Well, it's a little trick I learned in agriculture school. Good old fertilizer tech. How are you doing?
I'm nearly finished.
Good. How does my hair look?
Fine, boss. You want to put it on now?
Yes. Hold the mirror for me, please. You know, Rochester, I can't understand how the hair on a toupee can grow.
The ones you buy stay the same, but this is one of those you trapped yourself.
Well, I only trapped a few.
Yeah, but you better get rid of that one with the white stripe down the middle. You're losing all your friends.
Yeah. Now, Rochester, would you please brush the hair off my neck?
Okay.
I'll open my shirt first. Yeah.
Say, boss, why do you wear that penny around your neck on a string?
It's for sentimental reasons, Rochester. This is the first penny I ever owned.
Oh.
And you know that dollar I have framed in my bedroom?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first dollar I ever owned.
Oh.
And you know that picture by Maxwell that hangs in the den? That's the first car I ever owned.
That's the first car anybody ever owned.
What?
That car scared more horses than the meat shorties.
No, I don't know.
Say, boss, you want me to get a clean shirt for you to wear down the studio?
Huh?
You didn't forget your broadcast, did you?
How could I forget? The broadcast. Always the broadcast. Year after year. Every Monday, I think of ideas. Tuesday, I meet with my writers. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we write. Saturday, I rehearse. And on Sunday, I do my program, and one short half hour, it's all over. All that work for just one half hour. And for what, I ask? For what?
For a lousy $1 million.
No, Rochester, you have the wrong slant on life. Money isn't everything.
Boss, wake up. Wake up.
I am awake. And I meant what I said. You know, Rochester, there's an old saying that the best things in life are free. Money is not everything. Look out that window. Look at the sunshine, the fresh air, the birds, the trees, the blossoms. Right down the street, you can see. Hey, here comes the mailman. Wonder if he brought my salary check today. I hope so.
What happened to the birds and the sunshine?
Looks like rain, doesn't it, Roger?
That was Jack Benny of Rochester proving that they are real American jesters. You have but to listen to the program, You Bet Your Life, to realize that Groucho Marx is the fastest man on the trigger in or out of radio. When Sophie Tucker returned from London, where she had made an enormous success, Groucho was waiting for her when her boat docked. When Sophie came down the gangplank, she spotted Groucho and yelled, "Groucho, I went over very big, very big." Groucho yelled back, "Yes, honey, and you came back the same way." I'm still chuckling at the time a parachute tester standing before the mic admitted to Groucho putting his false teeth in his back pocket before jumping. Groucho asked, "Ever get bitten on the way down?" Many a night, Groucho and I sit around my house talking about our favorites, a guy we idolized, Al Jolson. I don't have to tell you old-timers, there was no one exactly like him. He was the minstrel of minstrels. And you young people, listen to a voice that had people cheering, crying, applauding for almost 50 years. Here is Al Jolson and the never-to-be-forgotten Sonny Boy.
Climb up on my knee, Sonny Boy. Boy, you're only 3, Sonny Boy. You've no way of knowing, there's no way of showing what you mean to me, Sonny Boy. When there are gray skies, I don't mind the gray skies. You make them blue, Sonny Boy. Friends may forsake me, let them all forsake me. Take me, I still have you, Sonny Boy. You're sent from a heaven, and I know your worth. You made a heaven for me here on earth. When I'm you won't stray, dear, for I love you so, Sonny Boy. When there are gray skies, I don't mind gray skies. You make them blue, sunny boy. Friends, friends may forsake me. Let them all forsake me. I still have you, sunny boy. You're sent from a heaven, and I know your worth. You've made a heaven for me here on earth. And the angels grew lonely, took you because they were lonely. I'm lonely too.
That was Sonny Boy, sung by the late, great Al Jolson. The story of the little girl who was born Frances Gum in the town of Grand Rapids, Minnesota, and became one of the greatest performers of our generation has been told too often to repeat here. It seems odd that in 1936, when Judy first appeared on a screen in a short subject entitled Every Sunday Afternoon, that it would be with one of my early discoveries, Deanna Durbin, 20 years ago. And now Deanna and Judy are both married and the mothers of two children each. Tempus dus fugit. That's Latin for kid. You're showing your age. Deanna has retired, satisfied just to play the role of housewife and mother. But Judy will never stop. She has a tremendous enthusiasm for living. And when asked by a newspaper reporter how she feels about show business, Judy answered, "Is there any other business?" Mickey Rooney attended the same classes in school with Judy Garland on the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer lot. Judy was a little mischievous. She wasn't interested in reading, writing, and arithmetic, as she was in singing, dancing, and acting. And when Mickey kidded her one day and said, "I see you're at the bottom of the class," Judy just shook her head and said, "So what? They teach the same at both ends." When Judy did her famous show at the Palace Theater in New York a few seasons back, she was on the stage for more than an hour and a quarter. Sang, danced, clowned. I kept watching and admiring the punch in Judy, the way she just made the audience do everything but jump up and kiss her. Such showmanship. I couldn't get over it. And when I went back to her dressing room, I said, "Judy, I don't understand it, the way you handled the audience tonight. Your whole career's been the movies. Where did you learn to handle a live audience like that, a young girl like you?" Judy says, "From watching old guys like you, Jack Benny and Georgie Jessel." Well, I don't know what Georgie and Jack will think, but I considered it a great compliment. I just happened to love that girl. When she was a mere babe in Hollywood, at the famous Trocadero restaurant one Sunday night, before a room full of celebrities, I heard her sing the song, and I knew a star was born. Here is Judy and You Made Me Love You.
You made me love you. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. You made me love you. And all the time you knew it. I guess you always knew it. You made me happy sometimes. You made me glad. But there were times, sir, you made me feel so sad. You made me sigh, 'cause I didn't want to tell you. I didn't want to tell you. I think you're grand. That's true, yes, I do. Deed, I do, you know I do. I must tell you what I'm feeling. The very mention of your name sends my heart reeling. You know you made me love you. Oh, gee, Mr. Gabriel, I don't want to bother you. Guess you've got a lot of girls to tell you the same thing. And if you don't want to read this, well, you don't have to. But I just had to tell you about the time I saw you, and it happened one night.
That was the first time I ever saw you. And I knew right then you were the nicest fella in the movies. I guess it was because you acted so natural-like. Well, not like a real actor at all, but just like any fella you meet at school or at a party. And then one time I saw you in a picture with Joan Crawford. And I had to cry a little, because you loved her so much, and you couldn't have her. Well, not till the end of the picture, anyway. And then one time I saw you in person. You were going to the Coconut Grove one night, and I was standing there when you got out of your car, and you almost knocked me down. Oh, but it wasn't your fault. No, I was in the way. But you looked at me, and you smiled. Yeah, you smiled right at me as if you meant it. And I cried all the way home just because you smiled at me for being in your way. Oh, I'll never forget it, Mr. Gable. Honest Injun, you're my favorite actor.
I don't care what happens, let the whole world stop. As far as I'm concerned, you'll always be the top, 'cause you know you made me love you.
That was Judy Garland singing You Made Me Love You. This is Eddie Cantor reminding you that if you want to live to be 80, don't look for it on your speedometer.